Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, groomers. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 163 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 6, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode of the Groom Pod is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors like Ryan's Pet Supplies. This week, we're going to talk about silicones in the environment, beauty blogs or science, which one do you listen to? And a couple of Ask Barbara medicated shampoo slash moisturizing questions from Facebook. So you can ask your question by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, Google Play, I think Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts. Find all things Groom Pod related at our website, thegroompod.com, including our Amazon banner donation button and the Patreon button. And thanks for sharing us with all of your grooming pals. And remember to support our sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Evolution, and Stazco. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Hey Barbara, what's going on this week?
I've been bummed out.
Bummed out? That's no good.
Yeah, I've been really funky bummed out because I allowed my life to cause me to miss the Bichon specialty that was right here in Tucson.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I cannot believe that I missed it. I've been waiting for 20 years for the freaking Bichon specialty to be where I can get to it. And here it is right in my backyard. And I freaking missed it because I'm crippled.
I hate that.
I hate that. And you know, I just instead of finding a solution to how I could manage to get around a showgrounds, I just said, I can't.
That's very unlike you.
It is unlike me, and about something as important to me as that, I just missed it, you know? I just didn't think about how will you feel if you don't go. You know, I just focused on how hard it would be to go, and I did not factor in how will you feel if you don't do this, and now I'm paying the price.
Now you're kicking yourself.
Oh, all the way up and down the block.
So that's a drag. Did the Bichon specialty come to you at all?
Well, I did get a little taste because Nadia Bonchili, our best friend, and her crazy nutcase husband, Julian, they are the perfect freaking match. Just this little joker guy that's at her side. He's been teasing Marco to see if he could get him to bite him. And Marco showed him his teeth, and he pulled that hand right out of that. Oh, man.
I'm telling Marco. You.
Marco is one serious fucking protector of me.
Yeah.
He is serious. So anyway, it was great to see Nadia and Julian. I love them both. And it was delightful. And we hung out for well over an hour. Nadia has proclaimed the entire breed of Bichons to be airheads. She said she had 3 days of being surrounded by these little white clouds that went, oh,
aww, so smart.
But no, you know what? I have never thought the Bichons were the brightest bulb in the box. Now, you can have a box of be shown and have a bright bulb. But it's relative, you know?
Well, but the history of the breed is they were circus dogs.
Well, no, they were like little on the boat dogs. They just were little companions, little spoiled little dogs. And they weren't as carry around as, you know, like some of those little tiny toy breeds that ladies would wear up their sleeves. No, you can't do that with a Bichon, but they're pretty much kind of little lap dogs or ankle dogs, or, you know, they're happy, they're go lucky. I don't know how they trained them to do circus tricks. I really don't. Because like Belle, she's so coy about taking a treat. I mean, it takes you 5 minutes to convince her to say, hey, what do you got? Oh, I got a treat. You want a treat? Oh, I don't know. Do I want that? I think I might want that. What does it smell like? Oh, I don't know. And she backs off and then she comes back up to it. Oh, I think I'll take it. And then she takes it so lightly that it falls out of her mouth and bam, Marco's got it. You know, okay.
To her credit, she's 100,000 years old.
She's not 100,000. She's not as old as Diva was. She's maybe 10.
Okay.
She's maybe 10.
All right. She, well, that's not 100,000.
She's just silly. She's just silly. Oh, I think I want that. Do I really want it? Oh, I don't know. Is it different than the one yesterday?
She's awfully cute, though. She's very stylish. You always have her in a stylish cut.
Cute and stylish and fluffy
and loving
and lovable and affable. And she loves kids. She went crazy. Her tail was wagging so fast you couldn't see it. So, because a couple of kids came in the other day.
Oh, not the ones who told you how to groom.
No.
Not, that's good.
Welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so anyway, that was it. It was great seeing Nadia and Julian, and I miss seeing Lindsay Dickin.
So did you hear I did 2 new ads this week? Actually, I aired them last week.
Oh, advertising? Yeah. What are we at?
Well, we're advertising Best Shot Ultra Max lineup. So that's their new ad. And then the Evolution Shears people got an ad for themselves. But it was pretty funny because on the Best Shot ad, I reversed the dilution rates.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I listened back to it and I went, oh, crap, that's right. And then Chris emailed me and said, I was just listening to that Best Shot ad. I think you got the dilution rates backwards and I was already on it. I was like, shit. But I didn't pull them. So I want to see through the years how many people catch the bad dilution rates. So I said, if you want to use it 50 to 1 for deep cleaning and 15 to 1 for light cleaning.
Oh.
Which is backwards.
Backwards.
But I was, when I recorded it, it was late. And to my credit, I'm kind of dyslexic, especially where numbers are concerned. So I just reversed the entire lines in there and wrote it wrong and never caught it until I had recorded it, transferred it to an MP4 or MP3, put it on the internet for the world to hear. And then I was like, oh, crap. But I'm not going to go back and change it because it's a big fat hassle to change it. But I have fixed it on the ad that'll run this week. The other thing is I did the Evolution Shears ad. And then I got a message from Abby, who's the owner, and she loved the ad. But she mentioned that it's not $10 off your order. It's $10 off each pair of shears that you buy. That's considerably different than $10 off every order. So I had to redo their ad too. But, you know, I got them done finally.
Learning curve.
Yeah, I got them done.
Ad copy, your learning curve. You know, one of my very first jobs right out of high school was editing ad copy.
Really?
At an advertising agency. Yeah, well, I did a lot of things. I ran around and delivered stuff and picked up stuff. But, you know, they caught on to my language skills even then. And I actually got to write some ads. It was newspaper ads.
It's funny. I had my husband proof it, but he doesn't know the shampoo. So he didn't
Takes a groomer to catch that. Yes. Yeah.
And I didn't realize that Evolution was giving us $10 off each pair of shears, not just $10 off your order. That's pretty darn cool. So listen to the new ads, you guys. Let us know what you think of them. Well, you don't have to let us know what you think of them, but, you know, listen to them anyway. They're different. They're different. They're new and different. That's the point. So also, we had another Patreon person sign up for.
Great.
And I still haven't seen anybody suggest any cool Patreon names for our listeners. We need a cool Patreon name for our listeners.
A nickname.
So we wanted to thank Melanie Leather. Not sure if that's her last name or just a screen name. But Melanie Leather, thank you very much for your subscription. Awesome stuff. Also,
you think Melanie might just be into leather?
Maybe. You never know. You just don't know, because some people just throw interesting screen names out there and other people have really fascinating names, because her family could have been leather workers, you know, way back on the Mayflower or something. I don't know. You know, that happens.
That does happen. That's how those names came about. But usually they are like Leather Man, or, you know, there's usually a worker implication there. But
indeed.
Yeah, it could be, you know, like I would just like to think that maybe she's got a lot of leather pants and leather vests, and she's tough and all into a big leather watch band. And
leather was my nickname in my drug delivery days back in the 90s. I rode a motorcycle and always had on my leather pants. So everybody called me leather.
So there you go. You're a leather. Yeah.
That's why I was thinking of
Are you sure you want to say in my drug delivery days?
I'm okay with it. It's past me now. I'm good. I think the statute of limitations is over on that. I would hope.
I would hope.
Yep. Yeah. So today, after I'm done with the groom pod, I've got three dogs to groom. I've got two Shelties, and I have a cat, a fairly cooperative cat. And I was thinking of videotaping my grooming on that cat, although I'm nervous because I have no one to help me. I've just got to set up the camera, but I have my editing skills, my video editing skills to help me create a story in the grooming. If I can just get shots of some important things, I can put together a short video, which is my plan. And I don't know whether I'm going to put it up on Patreon or whether I'm going to put it up on our GroomPod site. I'm still debating. It depends on how good it comes out, but I think I'm going to do that. What do you think? Should I do it?
Yeah, you've got to jump in the pool, Susie. You got to just jump in. You know, you've got to just do one.
And the weather is now such that I can actually have a camera phone out in the trailer and it won't fog up, because that's the bigger problem is, you know, I have my own fog bank that happens in there when I give a dog a bath. So this way I can leave the door open, although I can't with a cat, but this cat does not get a bath, just the haircut. So I'll have a good opportunity to show my clipper vac technique of cat juggling, you know, cat in one hand, clipper vac in the other hand. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, as contrasted to my owner-assisted cat grooming.
Yes. Maybe I will put it up on Patreon to go with the other cat.
A contrast or a compliment or whatever.
Compliment.
Yeah.
Cool. And I got a massive box of t-shirts. So now I have t-shirts in every size. So we have ladies' shape t-shirt, right? Which is a little more tailored and a little shorter in length and has a little bit different, I think, shoulder cut. Not positive about that one. We have those in small, medium, large, and extra large. And we have the unisex shirts, which I must say, everything's pre-shrunk. I didn't realize that. So everything's already pre-shrunk. And the unisex shirts run a little bit long. So if you like to hide your butt with your t-shirt, they're perfect for that. Or if you wear a t-shirt to bed, get a large, it'll cover everything up. You'll be fabulous. Just know that the unisex ones seem to be a little bit long.
But they make me look real short. They hide your butt, but they make you look really short.
It's true.
I'll take a woman's XL.
Yeah, okay. I've got I'll pop one in the mail because but they're white, so they're just white with the GroomPod logo on the front. They're kind of crappy. They're not great, but the deal is for a donation of $20 for the unisex one or $25 for the ladies' shirts, I will send you out a GroomPod T-shirt. And you never know, we might just have some contests coming up on Facebook that we can perhaps send out a few shirts for that too. So I've got some ideas brewing in my head.
Okay,
about
so speaking of ideas.
Oh, yes.
I've got an idea for a webinar. Are we ready to do a webinar this year? We haven't done a webinar this year.
No, and we're 5 months into this year. So let's get one on the schedule.
I've been digging into some. Remember I said last week that I had purchased this science article
yes.
on shampoos and shampoos and conditioners interactions with hair. Boy, it's a mind opener. I am deep into the learning mode, learning. So I would like to do another webinar on coat damage, now the next level.
Okay.
So this is so what I want to do is offer the coat damage next level webinar along with the opportunity to purchase a PDF of the PowerPoint of the first coat damage webinar so that you can kind of get up to speed if you missed the coat damage one.
Another thing you could do maybe is I know it takes a long time to watch two webinars, but if there's somebody that's interested in buying the whole first coat damage webinar, we could probably put a bundle together that way too. So you've got either a bundle to just get the PDF and catch yourself up, or maybe Barbara will give you a special price if you want to bundle the first part along with the second part.
I'll do that. I mean, I can do it. You know, our usual price is $39.95. And I can do $25 for the webinar, for the original coat damage webinar, or $15 for the PDF of the PowerPoint only.
Okay.
So that'll just give you all the slides of my PowerPoint. And the PowerPoint for coat damage is very thorough. It's very much an outline of the webinar.
But so, you don't get our lovely voices and humor involved. You just get the PowerPoint.
Yeah, you just get the PowerPoint, but you can go through it in a half an hour. Whereas
if you want the entertainment portion, you've got to sit down for the whole thing.
So what did I just say? 25 for the webinar. Yeah. Okay. So I'll work that up in the next few days. I'll work up the webinar itself and get it in the shop.bbird.biz account where you can buy it. And I'll make a notice and all that kind of stuff. Thinking June 10th. And listen, you know, we're talking about moisturizing today. It's possible that moisturizing can cause coat damage.
No way.
I am going to just tease you with that. And you have to come to the webinar to get the further explanation.
Boy, now you've got me wondering what it's going to be like. That's exciting. I like that. Cool. So let's take a break and hear that brand spanking new Best Shot ad that I put together. And then we'll be back with a really important topic to me personally as a mobile groomer, and that is silicones in the environment.
Okie doke.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-to-1 for deep cleaning, 50-to-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. As a mobile groomer, Barbara, the interaction between my products and the environment is always in the forefront of my mind, if not somewhere lurking around in the depths. You know, I'm always thinking about, since I don't have a gray water tank, what is the stuff I'm using on the pets doing to our salmon here in the Northwest and to our water systems and stuff like that? And that's one of the bigger controversies with our, you're making a face.
No, I'm making a face because I'm looking for my notes.
That was funny.
I'm sorry, don't take it. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
No worries. Yeah, so, and I know that it's a whole science in itself as far as how does this stuff break down and interact in our environment. But we had some questions about that from a new mobile groomer. Can we talk a little bit about my very favorite ingredient, which is silicone, and how it interacts with our environment?
Okay, let me just make a big blanket statement.
Okay.
So in general, any information that you may have heard about shampoos not biodegrading in the environment is fake news.
Okay.
Okay, just period. Fake news to make an issue that is not really an issue, okay? Because it all degrades. We just don't have you could find one thing and make me wrong on this, but generally speaking, the ingredients that go into shampoos in the levels in which they're in shampoos are harmless in the environment. They do degrade.
You just said an interesting thing right there, and we had a little talk about it, I don't know, sometime last week, just you and I personally. The difference between degrading and biodegrading.
Okay, that's where we get into the silicone. So silicones are not biodegradable. You know, when we talk about environmental safety and environmental concerns, we usually talk about biodegradability. So biodegradability is actually the action of bios, living organisms, on to change the composition and degrade into nothingness something, okay?
So that's like a fungus degrades a tree. That's biodegradable because the fungus is alive and it degrades the tree.
Right. So in the case of organic materials, most of our ingredients just biodegrade, and it's a matter of time. Some things are going to be faster. I mean, certainly the sugar surfactants, decalglucosides, those gentle and sugar-based, carbohydrate-based surfactants are going to biodegrade faster than, you know, some sodium lauryl sulfate. But it's been shown that your sodium lauryl sulfate, it does biodegrade. Silicones, on the other hand, are resistant. They're not a carbon-based organic material. They're a silicon base, which is just like a whole nother element in the elements, chemical elements things. Everything that's living is mostly carbon-based. Well, silicones are not carbon-based. They're not susceptible to biology. Doesn't affect them. That's the good news about silicones. They're very stable in that respect. So they have a long shelf life, they're inert, don't cause allergic reactions, but they don't biodegrade. However, they do degrade. They degrade silicon fluid, PDMS. So I do have to distinguish between linear silicones and cyclic silicone.
Like the first level, when we very first started using the silicones, they were all linear silicones. Then they developed the cyclical circular spiral.
Yeah, most of what we use is as detanglers and that kind of thing is linear silicones. Cyclomethicone is a cyclical. See, cyclical. Yep. It has a ring formation of the molecule instead of a linear that links with another linear that links what makes a chain.
Okay.
It's circular. So you have to look at those two things separately. The linear silicones, the polydimethyl siloxanes, okay, PDMS was found to be highly removed during wastewater treatment with effluent concentrations. Okay, so here is another way to say it, that they break down in the sludge of the water treatment plants.
Oh.
Okay, that's what's happening. They break down through oxidation and through other means, not biochemical means, all right? They don't require any biology, but they do break down, and they break down into silicon dioxide, water, and something else, you know.
They go back to the earth?
They go back to the earth. They just turn into sand.
So they become their elements again, basically.
Yeah. And I want to tell you, Susie, I went way into the rabbit hole on this, trying to just get to one simple thing that I just delivered. The truth is there's many, many uses of silicones, and we are such a little teeny, teeny, weeny part of what gets into the environment through personal care. I mean, and that's all of makeup and silicones. I mean, any of your makeup stuff is silicone based. But look at these are some of the industries: aerospace, electronics, engineering, healthcare, medical devices, automotive, maritime industries, construction, food and beverage, and personal care. So in terms of the overall silicones in the environment, shampoos from groomers are teeny, teeny bit, as our president would say. But look at this. I looked at textile industry because they produce a lot of silicone waste. So they've done a lot of the studies on does it break down. And okay, they determined that it does, yes, through primarily oxidation. But I ran into this statement in the textile industry. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Silicones also have many uses in non-woven applications, such as binder additives for wet laid processes. Wet laid.
What's that?
Have you ever been wet laid?
Yeah, every time.
I started thinking of that night I spent on the beach in San Diego. That was wet laid. Oh, the hot tub. Yes, it took me on a trip. Here was another one. Are you ready? The name of this article. I read this for you.
For you.
I read an article called "A Critical Assessment of the Environmental Fate of Linear and Cyclic Volatile Methyl Siloxanes Using Multimedia Fugosity Models."
Wow.
Fugosity.
What is that?
It sounds like something a tough bitch would have a lot of.
Yeah.
Man, that bitch has fugosity.
But
see where we go now.
I know. Okay.
I never did, I didn't go down the further rabbit hole that was fugosity mode.
Okay.
I just read the summary or conclusions. You know, you got to be careful because some of these technical articles are so technical that it just boggles your mind. So it helps to just kind of go to the conclusions and see what you can understand, and then look through and see if you can find stuff. You have to not be scared off when you run into something like fugacity. What the hell is that? Well, I'm going to develop some. I want more fugacity. You know, maybe I would have made it to the dog show if I had a little fucking fugacity.
I agree. I think we all need more fugacity in our lives.
Okay, so the cyclic siloxane, say that fast three times. also, which we kind of are more familiar with them as cyclomethicones. There's more than one. They have a longer life in the environment. They're a little bit less easily degraded. And the D4... They go by D3, D4, D5, D6, et cetera.
Very creative.
Which has a molecular reference, okay? But there was one, cyclomethicone D4, which was pronounced by Health Canada as being an environmental hazard. And what happened was that the silicone industry got right on that and produced science that then it resulted in that warning or that hazard notice being removed. So the upshot was that the Health Canada health hazard warning about cyclomethicone D4 was removed. There is no reason, and it's not used very much anymore in our cosmetics. Where you would find cyclomethicones is in gels, in detanglers, just plain old serums.
That this morning in my hair.
Yeah, they are good anti-frizz agents. So cyclomethicones are very volatile. And that's one of the reasons why there's really not enough to worry about in the environment from personal care items or grooming items, because the cyclomethicones are very volatile. They kind of deliver the other ingredients and then they evaporate, okay? Volatile means they evaporate quickly. Okay. So they become an airborne issue. Now, here's something I'm going to... Now that you're just like all comfortable about it, I'm going to tell you that cyclomethicones were found in the soil of Antarctica.
Really? Well, but if are they sand or are they?
Well, no, they were airborne, and they got trapped in the snow, and they traveled with the snowstorms up to Antarctica, snowed on Antarctica, and went into the soil.
Is this a new thing?
No, that was a few years ago.
Still, that's
but neat. They're just, you know, and it's doubtful that those cyclomethicones were from pet detanglers.
Okay.
You know, but there's a lot of use of that. So that's just to be known. I mean, we're not totally off the hook for environmental impact. But what it looks like now in my eyes is that groomers that worry about environmental impact of pet care ingredients is fake news, okay? It's fake news that's stirred up to cause you concern so you'll buy something without that, right?
Yeah, the only thing that I worry about with us mobile groomers, especially like, for instance, me with no gray tank, is the water department and the water covenants and things like that, is we have to be a little bit careful about things like that, because even though we know, or maybe our understanding is, I should say, that we're not really damaging anything, there may be a water covenant in the area that you're working in that says you can't discharge your water there regardless of what products you're using. So
right. Well, I think mobile groomers need to be very alert to that and to how they're disposing of. So when you say no gray tank, what does that mean?
It means that my water just drops down into the driveway.
As you're working?
Drains right down into the driveway.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's no law against that. If I were to put a gray tank, I don't have space for a gray tank in my, I would have to cut half my water in half. which would be impractical. So the way it was designed, it was designed with no gray tank. And a lot of people, especially in rural areas, which is where I am most of the time, don't have a gray tank or leave their gray tank open because they smell. They can smell.
Well, of course, because they their food stock for bacteria, smelly old bacteria. Well, do you tell your customers before you come for the first time that you?
Yep.
Yeah, that's part of your protocol.
Yep.
You pre-warn them about
the water. You know, it's like this. If you are allowed to wash your car, in your driveway, the amount of surfactant I'm using on your dog is negligible.
Right. I got it.
So if there is an issue with the water covenant, what I do personally is take a bucket, a kitty litter pan, stick it under there, catch the water, and then dump it in the garden. Because that is perfectly okay. Which, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other in my eyes, because the rain in Seattle carries all the grime from all the oil and dirt and residue from all the cars. That includes asbestos from brakes. It includes oil and petroleum products, which all of that, you know.
It's much worse. Much worse. Yeah. Actually, shampoo waste might be a good pesticide inhibitor in the garden.
It is. And I'm happy to do that. But for the most part, if you're allowed to wash your car, and I say it that way to people, and then they get it, because everybody knows you have residue on your car, residue from other people's cars, even if your car is perfectly well maintained and clean. So it makes sense to people that way. And even though we live in the tightest environmental rules in the nation here in the Northwest, most of our areas do not have water covenants.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I think there that pretty well wraps up that segment. And we're open to questions on the Groom Pod Discussion Group Facebook. So if you still have questions after my presentation, please ask.
Yes, do that. And now we're going to take a break and hear our South Park ad. Then we're going back to school like we didn't just come from school. All right, we're going to continue in the classroom. How's that?
Okay.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
going in and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, veterinary vocabulary this week is carcinogen.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, it's a substance that's known to cause cancer. It's just as simple as that. We're going to be short on these ones today because we've got covered a lot of ground. Grooming glossary today is the keel. Do you know what the keel is?
Isn't that a term for boats?
It is a term for boats. And it's the bottom of the boat. It's that shape of the bottom of the boat. It's where the lead is also. On a bird, though, the keel is an extension of the breastbone. And in grooming terms, it's that forechest. That's called the keel, the forechest, the fluffy forechest. So that's the keel.
Got it. Thanks.
A little tip. Okay, back to you for our science study. So our definition du jour this week is science or beauty blogs. Which ones can you trust? So tell us about that concept.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about finding your information online and what do you believe? Because there's so much out there. So 9/10 of the beauty blogs are like recycled from other blogs, and it's very hard to get down to the original source of that information. Whereas when you're looking at science, there's usually many references. So that's one of the differences, is you kind of have to take it on trust in beauty blogs, and some are much more trustworthy than others. And just because a fact or a piece of information is repeated on many beauty blogs does not make it factual. It does not give it greater validity than a piece of science information that you find in one place. Does that make sense to you? You got to be careful, because our tendency is to say where there's smoke, there's fire. And if you see it a lot, then it must make it true. And that's not necessarily true. You want to look for beauty blogs. If you're going to read them and believe in them, you want to look for people who are blogging, who have a background in cosmetic chemistry or in science in some way, so that there's science anchored. Now, right. Science is sometimes behind intuitive knowledge or experiential knowledge, right? Because it takes a lot to do a study. And so doing studies is sometimes way behind state of the art. And when you have a well-documented study, it can be funded by an industry inside group like Procter & Gamble.
So it can lean one direction.
Well, it's, you know, like, no, science doesn't lean. Science, you know, like, it's not supposed to lean.
It's not supposed to lean.
It's not politics.
No, but it seems like when the study is funded by the cigarette company, they...
Who else is gonna fund the study?
I'm just saying you got to still have your eyes open, that's all.
Well, and I've got to say, there is such a thing as a holistic approach to life, which would suggest that sometimes phenomena is not measurable by science. Okay.
Yep.
Now, what's happened in the hair care industry is that in the decades since the SEM high microscopic photography has come into play, and we can actually see a hair shaft 1,000 times, that has become a vital source of information and new knowledge about what happens to hair and how hair behaves.
Right. It makes sense that the narrative would take a while to catch up with the science then, i.e. the blogs would take a while to catch up with the science.
Yeah. And so it's back and forth, you know. But really, some of the industry companies like Dow Chemical, they have a highly funded research and development group that's going to be on the forefront, you know, and they're interested not only in developing new products that solve problems and evolve to consumer needs and requests, but also, God damn it, I lost my train of thought. Don't get old. It just kind of goes in there. It was all in there. It was all in there percolating and cooking and working. And then all of a sudden.
Well, I can't even imagine how you work because I've got the dog chasing the cat and then chasing her tail and then the cat jumping on me. And I've got all this stuff happening over here.
Well, and I'm watching it. And I'm watching you watching it.
So I did not laugh. It's so funny. She spins around this way.
You're having a better time at home.
It's true.
So, bringing you back to the conversation,
yes,
Susie.
You.
So, what did I just say?
We were talking about
Dow Chemical has a lot of money for research. Procter & Gamble has a lot of money for research. Companies that are producing new chemicals, I'm going to call it what it is, new chemicals for use in hair care, they're interested in supporting their claims. So they have to do some, at least some kind of in-house measurements, and they're developing more and more ways to measure what happens to hair, and this produces more information and more knowledge, and it's kind of just an ongoing process. Likewise, my own process of being able to digest technical material and codify that in a way that ordinary people can understand what I barely understand. It's a process for me. And I'll tell you one of the things that's happened to me that I'll be talking about in the future is that in this last big article that I read of effects of shampoo and conditioner on hair behavior that utilizes a lot of SEM photography has made me understand the justification for this is going to blow your mind. I understand the justification for the Yves Saint Bernard close, open, close methodology.
Okay.
Now see, I'm opening my mind. Learning opens my mind, and sometimes I have to kind of backtrack and say, well, now I understand. So I'll be talking about this more in my latest webinars and in future podcasts about my new learning. So please, whenever I say something that I believe strongly, that's on that day of that year.
Yes.
You know,
with brain cells in that order.
with those brain cells in that order. And it could be shuffled around by new information at any time. And that's one of the things that I like about myself. I'm still digging. I'm still, it's amazing because I don't just go back to last year's information. When somebody asks me a question about hair care, I go see if there's been anything new added.
Yep.
So what I will do for those of you getting onto this subject about science or beauty bloggers, I will post on the GroomPod discussion group a list of references that I trust and use. Okay? We'll just call it B-Bird's favorite trustworthy references or something like that. And we'll put it up. I'll post it on the blog and we'll put it up in the files. Okay.
Cool. That sounds great. Well, let's get the hell off the school stuff. Okay. My head's going to explode. That was a lot of, that was too much. Now I know how you feel when I start going in deep with the business stuff.
Yeah, I know. And I apologize to anybody else out there if I'm just like boggling your mind into little fractions.
But like you said, you know, I'll absorb it eventually, right?
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, I had to read about surfactants 6 times before I really understood what an anionic surfactant was. I had to read it deep. Now I've started reading more about environmental impact. I'm having to understand some of the terms and stuff for environmental science. God, I'm not going to go there for a lifetime. I'm telling you, it's another whole area of science, another whole language.
Yeah, and it's a deep one.
And it's a deep one, and people spend their lives on it, and God bless them.
Yes.
Okay, so where are we? What's next?
Okay, well, we're going to move on. First, I want to let everybody hear my really awesome Evolution Shears advertisement, because I am really proud of that. And then we're going to do our At the Table segment, which is a Facebook question about conditioning and moisturizing and all that kind of stuff. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. I'm going to read you the question from Laura Kennard, and then I'm going to read you another question that came in after hers, and they're both kind of similar, and I thought you'd probably lump them all together.
Okay.
So Laura says, hi, I have a dog who has seemingly dry skin, but has a chlorhexidine, I think, medicated shampoo from the dog's vet to treat a skin condition. My thought was to do one bath in oatmeal either before or after the medicated shampoo to help the dryness. Thoughts on which order to do it in? Was thinking first oat to moisturize, but then I thought maybe the medicated shampoo could kind of strip it and negate the effects of the oat, or the oat second could negate the effects of the medicated. I forget what the diagnosis of this particular dog's skin is. Thanks for any thought. Okay, hold that thought.
Okay, holding it.
And we're going to go over here to Renee's question, which is, hi, all. We all know moisture retention is both an internal and external problem. Aside from the internal suggestions for clients, what can we do to really moisturize the skin and coat? Favorite products and applications. Plus, I'm mobile, so water conservation is a plus. There you go. Thanks in advance. So moisturizing is really kind of the subject here. So go for it, Barbara.
Okay. I want you to repeat the repeat Renee's question without the first part.
Okay.
The question is,
what can we do to really moisturize skin and coat?
The oatmeal question is largely going to depend upon the oatmeal product that you're using. And it's not so much that the medicated shampoo is going to remove the moisturizing element, the oatmeal. It's that any surfactant shampoo will. And the oatmeal shampoo is going to leave a film on the hair, and perhaps it's going to prevent the medicated shampoo from really penetrating. So I would do the medicated shampoo first.
Would you maybe follow up with an oatmeal
rinse
or something?
I wish they would do this. I wish the industry would market oatmeal conditioners more than oatmeal shampoos, because the idea of taking a botanical, you know, like, there's no reason for the oatmeal to cling to the skin and coat. It's colloidal oatmeal. You know, it's going to be washed away, rinsed off. It doesn't have good staying power. It needs to be the last thing you do, or do a separate oatmeal treatment, you know. Or before. You could do just a whole oatmeal treatment, and then it will soak in, and it will do its anti-itch thing, and it will do some remoisturizing, and then you just go ahead and wash the dog. But oatmeal conditioner is a better idea, in my personal opinion, in my professional, educated opinion, okay?
And in my veterinary background, which the vets really don't get, if you're not at a dermatologist, they don't get a lot of skin instruction, and they really don't get a lot of shampoo instruction. So they do want you to get the coat clean before you put the medicated shampoo on there if the dog is extremely dirty. So what they always recommended for me was to use maybe a sulfate-free or not, a hypo type of a shampoo, get the dog clean, then use the chlorhexidine shampoo so that it can do its job. And chlorhexidine is one of those magical ingredients that has some staying power, doesn't it?
Yeah, chlorhexidine is antibacterial. So if you leave it on there for 5 minutes, it's going to do its thing. If you leave it on for 10 minutes, you'll probably get more moisturizing from the moisture. But I'm going to say this, and this is going to go to the other question as well. One of the things that I recently read, and I'm having a hard time finding it again, but it ingrained in my brain.
It could be ingrained in the membrane.
Maybe I need to make a rap song about this, or just an old lady poem. I don't know. But is that this scientist that I read suggested that dry skin and coat is not so much a matter of lack of moisture as it is of lack of oil.
Okay.
We have skin conditions that are too much sebum, and we have skin conditions that are too little sebum. But what seems like lack of moisture can really be more a need for oil. Everything that I'm reading lately points more in the direction of the viability of pre-shampoo oil treatments.
That's interesting, and I'll add to that. When I started in the vet industry as a receptionist, one of the things that the vets were using as a go-to for any skin problems is a fatty acid supplement in the food. And this is adding oil back into the system internally to come through the skin. So it makes perfect sense that throwing some on the top would be a good idea too.
Thanks. So, yeah. You know, like, we'll be investigating this notion. And the other thing is that moisturizing can backfire on you in that it can, if the hair is damaged and highly porous. So that means moisture is in it, coming in and out, like the hair shaft is a sieve. Okay, it's going in, it's coming out. In general, there's hydration external, and then there's hydration internal, which is not internal the body, but internal the skin and the hair. Internal within the hair shaft itself. If too much moisture enters the hair shaft, it stretches the cuticle and lifts the cuticle so that the cuticle is more easily damaged. You might want to re-examine our moisturizing practices.
Okay, food for thought.
That is food for thought, and we'll be talking about this more in our newest webinar, Coat Damage, Taking It to the Next Level.
I love it. All right. Well, speaking of taking it to the next level, we're going to just finish up the show, because what you guys don't know is this has been a major two-parter due to internet issues on Sunday. We've had to finish it up on Tuesday. Hopefully it'll be seamless and you guys will have never known, but now we've disclosed it. And I think I'm pretty excited that we actually finished the show, Barbara.
We did.
I know. And I'm so pleased. I'm very pleased. All right. Cool. Well, you guys, be sure to tune in again next week. Make sure to say hi to our sponsors when you see them. Happy grooming, and we'll see you next week on the Groom Pod. Ta-ta, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Hey, groomers, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.